Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He's always ready to help us go forward in Him. Sometimes when you're honest and open with the Lord and you get quiet before Him, He can share the most profound thoughts with us that will stop any man in his tracks. I love when the Lord gives me revelation, and it helps me every time he helped me understand something. It's like I see everything clearer and clearer, and I always gain new vision, and it's always encouraging to help me make the next step. God is good. That's why a fresh word, it's just like fresh oil. It's like a new beginning to understand what the Holy Spirit will reveal. And the most wonderful thing is the Lord can do this forever. The Lord have taught me things that made me just go somewhere and sit down and think about it. And there were times that He had taught me a lot and I understood more than I was used to. And then He could say something and just, it'll be so simple and so elementary and profound at the same time that I would wonder, why didn't I see this before? But I did. And I love when people go before Him and learn, because I've overheard conversations and I've heard what the Lord has shared with others. And it's always a blessing. The wisdom of God is for everybody, and He cares about us deeply. And when we have a heart like His, that's what He relates to. He always relates to those who have a heart of love, people that desire to do His will and obey Him. The kind of people that the Lord resists are those who rebel against that kind of love. Any part of the world system, it carries a hatred against the living ways of God with it. And the way to kill and defeat lust in your life is to love others. The way to kill and defeat greed in your life is to be a giver, a contributor, even a servant. People that seek to be a blessing. Along the way of life, I learned that even when I couldn't get promoted like I wanted to, I learned how to be abased. I said, well, I'll serve God. I wanted to serve God because I loved Him. And the best way to do that is to be a blessing to mankind. So every job I had, I would do my best. I worked as unto God. I worked in order to represent Him to others. And it wasn't just to be promoted. I did want to be promoted, but I saw the value in having a good attitude towards other people. And even when I knew that they were not, that they didn't have my best interest at heart. I mean, I would get promised all kind of promotions, but they never did come through. And the Lord, He dealt with it. You know how people say, turn it over to the Lord and put it in God's hands? Well, that's precisely what ended up happening. I didn't want anything bad to happen to anybody. But I kept praying about my job in the early years, and they wouldn't tell the truth. They didn't promote me like they said they would. When opportunities came, I didn't get it. But I didn't stop working as unto God. But I did start praying. I said, Lord, bless me with my own business. I'm tired of all the lies. But I didn't change my position and my work ethic. And the Lord, the business actually slowed down. And they let me go, which turned out to be a blessing. The Lord promoted me beyond men, and I saw it with my own eyes. God gave me my own business. Jesus said that God opens doors that no man can shut, and he shuts doors that no man can open. And the people who didn't do me right, they had the loss, not me. I was able to move on and go forward, even to their surprise. The same work ethic that I shared with the company, I did even more so in my own business, towards my own customers. Now, I was not formally trained as a businessman, but I did study the Sermon on the Mount. And I studied the teachings of Jesus Christ, and that's the way I governed my life. And that, my friend, was my business education. If I fixed something and it didn't turn out right, I made it right. I got it straight. If I fixed something and it broke, they didn't have to come find me. I went to them and fixed it. If they called me and told me that something was still leaking or something was still wrong with the car that I worked on, I would go back, check it out, and fix it. If it was my fault, I paid for it. If it was not my fault, I explained what happened. And sometimes they just needed other parts that I didn't know they needed. And sometimes I even fixed the cars at my own loss. But I did it. And it wasn't easy. But the character, courage of God was there. It's in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Everything you need, the wisdom, the counsel, the comfort, everything you need is in the Word of God. And I would work as unto God. And that have always been a blessing to me. And you know, when you learn from the Lord, you're reaching forward. Sometimes people call it quits and they stop growing because they don't want to put forth any effort. Now, in the world, people always put forth effort. I've seen this too. When people get a job that they don't really deserve, and somebody gave them a job, and they hold their lack of, they know that some bosses will hire people they know are not qualified, and they'll hold it over their head, and they gotta do extra things to keep that job. And people will, and they'll let people string them along, they'll go to the house, wash cars, whatever they do. I've seen all kind of things. People even do unethical things to keep a good job. Why not do it God's way? Why not work as unto God? Seek Him, live by His word. God, there's promotion in it, in every form. God is not afraid to bless you. He blesses us day by day. Every day there are great opportunities that come our way. We always have an opportunity to serve mankind and be a blessing to everyone. You don't have to pray for that. That will be there. You don't have to wait until God opened a door for you to be a blessing to somebody. Because the same blessing you decide to be of your own free will, God's going to bless others to bless you. See, whatever you sow, you reap. When I was on the job, I was not slothful. I did my job. I did whatever they asked me to do with a good attitude. And I tried to do a very good job. And sometimes people don't want to move you out of that position because you do so well. And men are stingy. Sometimes people won't pay you right. But when it's time, I've seen a woman work like that. She was good at what she did. She worked at the first dealership job I had. And she prepped the new cars. And she was good at what she did. So they wouldn't give her a raise. So she decided to go work at another dealership. And they were going to pay her, instead of $8 an hour, they were going to pay her $10 an hour. So she was so valuable, they paid her more than $10 an hour to stay at the job that she already had. A friend of mine worked as a machinist, and he worked long hours. They didn't give him dinner in the evening. They had he would sometimes come back from work after working all day, and they didn't give him a raise, and he hadn't had a raise in years. But he worked as under God too. He worked very diligently. So he just went out and found another job in his field. And they were going to pay him, I forgot exactly, it was a raise, and they were going to pay him insurance. And so the boss, he was so valuable, they didn't want him to leave. They gave everybody a raise. Everybody made what he was going to make at the other job, and they gave everybody insurance. And his co-worker said, "Man, why don't you look for a job more often?" See, the money's out there. People will allow you to serve them, and they'll try not to serve you. But when you work as under God, even if they won't, God will promote you. And so, I know this for a fact. If you work as under God, if you do good work, people will pay you to do for the services that you render. So when we draw near to the Lord and we seek the Lord in our heart, we seek to be more like Him. You're honoring God when you do that. We honor God when we ask Him questions so that we can do better and better, so that we can grow. Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He didn't know how to solve the problem. Now, the thorn in the flesh was not, like I've said on other broadcasts, it was not an illness. It was not sickness. Paul, in the course of Corinthians, when Paul talked about it, he said that it was a messenger of Satan. When where people get sickness, I don't know. But the word of God said it was a messenger of Satan. And you can see this happening in Acts chapter 16. They stoned Paul to death, and he saw the third heaven, and they gathered around and prayed, and he came back to life. So that's when we believe that he saw the third heaven, because the word said that he died. And he saw so much, the enemy wanted to buffet him. Because a man like Paul was an apostle that loved God, that served God, a lot of people looked to him, and he saw heaven, and he was going to tell everybody and give everybody. See, when people see a vision, it automatically gives people greater hope and new vision. And Satan is afraid of man drawing near to God. So in order to scare people back and keep Paul from sharing what he saw, he sent out messengers to harass him, just like the damsel did, who had a spirit of divination. She had a familiar spirit in Acts chapter 16. And he was asking the Lord to do something about it. But in redemption, Jesus also gave us authority. He said in Matthew 28, "All power in heaven and earth is given to me." On the same day, at the same time, in Acts chapter 1, it's the same moment, Jesus said, "I give unto you power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you." So the Holy Ghost had come upon Paul, and he already gave us authority. All right, our authority is not something that we earned. That's something God gave us. It's a gift that we didn't earn or merit, so that's a grace. So the Lord told Paul, Paul was wanting God to come and do something about the devil, but he already gave Paul grace. He gave all Christians the same grace. We all we have authority over Satan. And the way we measure it, it'll be measured to us according to how we measure it. But That same grace that we all share and have is sufficient to deal with any problem we have in this life. So if the enemy is harassing your life, all you have to do, my friend, you have to take authority over it. You have to tell Satan to stop. Just like Apostle Paul told the damsel, told that spirit to come out of that girl. And the spirit couldn't operate in her life anymore. And the people who was with her, who were making money on her through that divination, they couldn't make money with her anymore because the familiar spirit was gone. So they had Paul thrown in jail. And Paul knew how to be abased and he knew how to abound. He worshiped God in jail. When he was abased, he praised God until he abounded. And an earthquake happened and all the prison doors was open. And the people that heard him worshiping God all night stayed in jail. They stayed in prison. And the jailer was about to commit suicide because he thought everybody got away. And Paul and them said, "Don't kill yourself, we're still here." And a revival broke out. The man got saved. The jailer got saved. The prisoners were saved. The man's family got saved. And Paul ended up being released. So, if you don't mind following God to jail, it wasn't Paul's fault that he went to jail. But God did a revival there. The enemy meant it for evil, but God is not wasteful. He used it for good. So when you follow God, you may not always have perfect justice, but you will always, my friend, have perfect success. Sometimes what the enemy do against you is just a door that God will use to destroy him. Don't be afraid when people are not fair towards you. Means nothing. Men are not that, they're just doing what's in their heart. But when we do what's in our heart, we cause revival wherever we are. You can't always have justice from me, and I don't even expect it anymore. People are not right in their heart. So how can they do you right? But the things people do is a reflection of what's in their heart. But when you follow God with his wisdom and counsel, you're going to win every time. And you're going to take people with you. People can tell that you're not being treated fairly. Where I worked, people could tell that I was not being treated right. Even the bosses knew that they weren't treating me right. But I wasn't mean-spirited. Now, after the fact that after that job was over and I started working for myself, they didn't know how good of a mechanic I was because they never tried me out. But I lived. I did it right. I lived well. I paid my bills. When I would go back up there to the dealership to buy parts, I would speak to everybody and they'd ask me where I was working now, and I'd say, "I'm still working for myself." And the first time I went up there, I had a Maverick. I had a Ford Maverick. And I worked out of my Maverick and I had a small toolbox. A few months went by, I had more tools. A few months went by, I had a truck. And the first time I painted it yellow. And then they saw it the next time, I had tools on the back. I had an air compressor on the back. I had a toolbox on the back. Every time I went up there, I was abounding more and more. I was getting better and better, stronger and stronger. My business was growing. Next thing you know, I painted it white and I did a better job of painting it. And it looked more professional. And I had uniforms. See, things went on over time. And I did better and better, greater and greater. And then years went by. I'm still working for myself. Years went by. I worked for myself for 8 years. To their surprise, I made a lot of money doing what I did. And when I worked at the job, I got a job where I worked on heavy equipment. And to get insurance, I took a job when my daughter was born. And I didn't have to do it, but I did it. And when I would work on heavy equipment, I could figure things out because I had worked for myself for so long that I easily adapt to working on things I never seen before. Because cars change, and I adapt real easy. I figure things out that others don't. Because when I would work in the field at people's houses, I didn't have anybody I could ask. I would pray and seek the Lord. I learned how to listen. And when I didn't have anybody to ask, sometimes I would ask others. I would ask people that if they knew anything about it at the parts store. And sometimes people answered. Sometimes they knew what to do. But when there was nobody to ask, the Lord would always show me what to do and help me get it right and help me figure it out. And I know this. I know that God can do this with anybody. But the problem is people don't ask. They don't seek. They don't ask and they don't knock enough. So whenever I needed him to help me understand these cars, I would ask. So whenever I felt any kind of trouble, I would ask him what to do. And whenever I had any form of problem that lingered on and I didn't know how to deal with it, such as when Paul asked God about the thorn in the flesh, the Lord would always guide me in the way I should go. And his grace was always sufficient. Now, sometimes people take the grace is not sufficient, is my grace is sufficient for thee, as saying that this sickness, just leave it alone and don't worry about it. That would be insufficient grace. The way people preach it is insufficient. It's error. I don't care who it is. It's just error. If you've got a problem and you're seeking the Lord about it, and if you did what the preachers always say, the grace is sufficient for you, as if God will do nothing and you just stuck with your problem, that is not, my friend, sufficient grace. That is actually people not understanding what God has given. We all share the responsibility of receiving the knowledge of God and acting on it. We have to believe him. We have to, for every problem we have, every problem we face, we have to believe what the word said beyond what we see and feel, and take God at his word. And then, only then, can we conquer it. Now, God is not going to come and change your situation for you. That, I know, will not happen. God can heal people sovereignly. He can do things sovereignly. But it's usually for people that are babies. It's usually for people that have no skill. If you've been saved a while and you can pray and you believe him for other things, if you get cancer or something, you're going to have to believe into him and take him at his word if you want to live. If the devil's bothering you, you're going to have to use your faith and rebuke him, because the grace that God has given you is sufficient. Everything that God has given you is sufficient. You can do this. If Satan give you deceptive thoughts, rebuke it in Jesus' name. If you have a problem with people, tell Satan he can't use them anymore in Jesus' name. If you see gang activity outside your door, tell Satan he got to stop, and it will stop. When I saw the gunfights, heard the gunfights, I would say, Satan, you can't kill anybody and you can't hurt anybody in Jesus' name. And I don't care who was shooting, and they always missed when I did that. The things that I'm saying, I've lived and I know. And God can do greater than what I went through for you. And because the fight is so intense, you're going to have to learn to fight. And you're going to have to learn how to live in the kingdom of God. It's too important. God has given us his word. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What are you saying? What do you speak? When aggravated, what are you speaking? And you have to be strong enough for your weakest moment. Because in your weakest moment, you can make an evil decision that can cost you dearly. You can miss opportunities that you don't need to miss. Sometimes people miss out on marrying the most perfect person because of how things look. They have no relationship with the Lord, and when the Lord try to guide them, they don't listen. And then they go marry somebody that's not good for them. And even if you marry somebody that's good for you, you got to learn how to stop being deceived, because Satan will always show you the worst about people. I told my son and my children, never believe the worst about people, because Satan is a slanderer. You're going to have to learn to go by what the Holy Spirit is saying. But if you don't talk to the Holy Spirit and get to know him, you're going to go by your best judgment. And you're outclassed. At our best judgments, you know, not having God's side of things, we're outclassed. Because Satan know how to, he know how to manipulate the circumstances to deceive you. And I see so many Christians, they just stop going to church. They love God, they believed on Jesus, but they just don't go to church anymore. They want to watch somebody on TV. They want an easy life. They learn a few facts, and they think they know everything. It doesn't work that way. The enemy know how to change your opinions. And if you watch TV long enough, it will change your opinion. If you take a cup of hot water and pour it in a swimming pool, eventually that cup of water going to be the same temperature as that darn swimming pool. But if you're on fire for God and you fellowship with people that are on fire for God, you can combat deception better, because deception don't come the way it came last time. It's not going to come the second time that way. It's going to come a different way, because the enemy is desperately trying to get you out of the path of life. He wants your life to be just as miserable as his is. And he's trying to get you to turn your attention off God and onto something so that he can deceive you and take you down a negative path. Remember, Satan enters our lives through our weaknesses, our hurts, and our fears. But when you decide to regard the guidance of the Holy Spirit and hear him out, you're walking a higher road. You're renewing your mind. You're growing in your spirit. You're developing. You come into understanding of greater things. And when you cooperate with the Lord like that, God can move in your life. He can help you then. He can show you the greater things. He can show you the opportunities that already exist. And you can benefit from it in real time and change the facts on the ground where you are. You can change the circumstances in your life. You can change the facts in your life from negative to positive. From bad to better. And you can live on earth as people do in heaven now in real time. But it takes growing and receiving God's word and developing. And then, only then can you do this. And you're going to love it. It's better. And when the Lord when he speak his wisdom, you want more. And new vision comes with it. You can see yourself in greater circumstances doing greater things. It's wonderful. Don't just take my word for it, but do take my word for it. Also, live this way, and you'll see what the old preacher talking about. It felt good to me when I was not at the mercy of men anymore. I felt like a new man. I felt like I lived at the mercy of God, which is wonderful. I felt like in his presence, I felt like I could do anything. And working for myself, I felt like I could do anything. And whenever I go in God's presence, I find that I really can do anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can prosper no matter what happens. I believe that because I've lived that way. Sometimes I will be surprised at the outcomes and the blessings that I enjoy. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will mightily move in your life right now. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus truly is our Lord.